You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, I think this time we've got our secondary colleagues who also have very similar issues. They work in different contexts, obviously, but very similar issues who are joining with us in this next industrial action.
And also, teachers have rejected multiple pay offers. So what does the government need to put on the table to satisfy both teachers and principals?
Well, I think one of the things that we've seen is we've seen the same sort of offer in a couple of different configurations over the last three offers. And what we're saying is that there are some issues around the maintenance of pay parity in the primary sector. So if our teachers and principals had accepted the last offer, then they would have actually lost pay parity. And that's something that is very, very important because that's the key premise underneath it is that a teacher is a teacher is a teacher. So those teachers, no matter whether they work in kindergarten, primary or secondary, with similar qualifications, skills and responsibilities should be paid the same regardless of the age of the student. So that simply is absolutely important that we retain pay parity. The other issues are that our people did not see the issues of time to teach or time to lead being addressed, and so that has caused considerable consternation with our people. Also, the fact that whilst we did see some movement in pay, for some of our people, they still have to wait some significant time to see the pay areas addressed. So we've got some work still to do in that area around actually addressing the issues that our teachers see.
So you mentioned that time to teach wasn't addressed. What are teachers' main concerns around this area?
So one of the things that we've asked for is an extra hour non-contact time per week where teachers can actually work alongside their students in a more one-on-one capacity, and that can be around assessment, it can be around pastoral care, it can be around a number of the different issues that are actually creating some of the demands, the additional workload demands on our teachers. We are seeing that we've got children who've got more complex needs coming into our schools, and that actually means that the teachers need to spend more time with them one-on-one to actually support those students, but also they need to attend individual education plan meetings. There's a number of different things that need to happen to support those students as well. And they just don't have the time. So that extra hour per week is certainly something that our teachers have been asking for.
So the government seems to indicate that their offer is justified and sufficient and is tending to reference that there are other areas which they need to dedicate money to, such as mental health and nursing. They seem to be indicating that there just simply isn't enough money to give to the teachers that is being demanded. What's your response to that?
So I think it's around looking at how can we address these issues. At the moment, we are seeing a situation where we cannot attract people into the profession. We're finding it really difficult to attract people into the profession. In fact, the minister announced a week or so ago an additional $95 million for incentives to attract people into the profession. When we do get them into the profession, we find it hard to retain them. So within the first 3 years of people training, 20% of them leave teaching. So we need to find a way forward that actually ensures that those people will stay in teaching. And to do that, we need to have a concrete a concrete pathway that basically says, right, we can't do it all right now, but actually we will set in concrete a commitment to you that these things will happen over the next little while. Our contract negotiations, we had gone into them with a claim over 2 years. That's already been stretched out over 3 years, and we're a year past the expiry of our contract. So what we're seeing is actually some significant time. We need to get these issues sorted, and we need some clear commitments around them.
If the pay dispute isn't settled soon, what will be the short and long-term impacts of that, both on teachers and the children?
So what we know is that people are leaving the profession. We've got people who are not coming back from maternity. What we're hearing is people not coming back from their maternity leaves because they think that it is just going to be too hard for them if they've got young families to actually be in teaching. We want to be able to attract those people into teaching. What the long term is that we just won't have teachers in the profession, which means that we get classes split. Those people who are in the profession can't attend professional learning and development because there's no relievers for them. We are in a really dire situation, and we don't want that. We're already seeing that teaching is on the immigration list of skills shortages. So this is really serious, and it needs to be addressed.
Do you have any other further comments on this matter?
No, I think a comment I'd like to make is that we know this is difficult, and we really look forward to an urgent and constructive engagement with the government around it. It's really in no one's interest to continue the dispute. We absolutely, our teachers and our principals don't want to strike. They want to be in their classrooms doing the job that they came in to do, to make a difference for kids. And so therefore, you know, it's imperative that this gets sorted. But people are resolute. They're saying we cannot sort it until we can see that actually these issues are being taken seriously, and there are some really concrete steps about ensuring that the significant pay jolt, the time to teach and time to lead is addressed, and we can see the way forward around how we get support for our children with additional learning needs.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.